This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. We are going to be, and regular listeners to this program already know this, we're going to be sorting out the post-pandemic economy in this country for years and years to come. We can say, though, with some degree of certainty that pandemics shake up societies and economies and business models for good. Marketplace's Scott Tong rewinds us all the way to the plague of all plagues, the Black Death, back in the 14th century, to spot the effects and innovations that are still with us today.
I'm not sure if there's a medieval term for revenge spending, but it was clearly a thing after the Black Death, which killed roughly one out of every two people in Europe in the 1300s. Eleanor Yanaga is a historian at the London School of Economics.
It's sort of like a YOLO thing.
YOLO. You only live once?
They know that they very well might die at any moment. So there's kind of this, well, if not now, when attitude.
She says, just like today, when a lot of people are dying to get away to Miami Beach or Yellowstone, people back then splurged on religious trips, known as pilgrimages, which were not always so religious.
Medieval people love going on pilgrimage. It's essentially like a holiday for them. Maybe they are going to try to pick someone up. They're going to fool around. They are definitely going to drink, and they're going to come home with this amazing story.
In fact, one person who lived through the Black Death penned one of the most famous fictional stories ever about a group of traveling pilgrims.
The Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey Chaucer.
This audiobook excerpt from the Canterbury Tales veers into the bawdy and the adulterous.
And thus lay Alison and Nicholas in business of mirth and in solace.
Medieval workers also took comfort in their newfound economic power. Yanaga, the historian, draws a parallel to today.
When I see articles lately saying, oh, well, not as many people want to work at McDonald's, it does remind me of the situation for peasants sort of post-Black Death, where they're saying, well, no one wants to do this really difficult, thankless job for no money.
These peasants now had options because the Black Death created a shortage of them. Some demanded more pay, others quit their jobs to work in cities, which created a problem for the wool industry. It required lots of labor to clean cloth. The process is called fulling, says historian Christopher Dyer at the University of Leicester.
It took a week to full a cloth by hand, with blokes hitting it with the hammers. You can imagine what a laborious job it was.
Enter the breakthrough of the fulling mill, which used water power from rivers.
And they could do it in a few hours with the machine.
These mills proliferated, not just because they saved labor, but peasants with money now wanted fancy clothes that were newly in vogue.
It starts with the aristocracy, but it spreads to the rest of society, is to have tighter, more what we would say figure-hugging garments. And people were shocked.
Like many innovations, the fulling mill had a lasting impact. It was developed in a place called Gloucestershire, which became known for making red cloth and for red coats for the British Army. Flash forward to the Revolutionary War.
The Americans cheated by sort of hiding behind trees and dressing in brown, but the British sort of stood there in their red coats and got shot. Well, those red coats were made in this Gloucestershire district, which had developed the fulling mill in the 14th century.
The post-Black Death period saw the mass take-up of many gadgets that were already on the scene, gadgets that made scarce workers more productive. Eyeglasses for factory workers, horse collars for efficient farming, crossbows for soldiers. Historian Patrick Wyman, host of the podcast Tides of History, says the labor shortage at the time lasted well after the pandemic ended in the 1350s.
There were still plague outbreaks well into the 17th and even in some places the 18th century. All of this is combining to make sure that the population stayed lower than it had been, that labor costs stayed higher.
To him, the biggest breakthrough of the day, the Gutenberg Press, 1450.
The printing press is very much a product of this post-plague world. If you've got to pay a scribe a higher wage, then suddenly it makes sense to look for new ways of kind of mass producing books.
Now, historians are quick to say that technological breakthroughs tend to have multiple causes. Scarce workers, new customers with new ambitions, and other factors. But Wyman says the pandemic shocked the economy and reset society, which, like today, created room for innovators to exploit. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.